been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win.
Hey everybody, good morning and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you every Thursday morning from the BRS studios right here in Little Rock. My name's Rich Jensen, I'm your host, and I'll be bringing you my co-host David Sims in just a minute. What do we do here on the Shrimp Tank? Well, the Shrimp Tank's an amazing show that's flourished over the last year and a half and is now a nationally broadcast podcast. We bring in some of the brightest and best CEOs in and around the state of Arkansas. We learn about the do's and don'ts of being an entrepreneur, how to run, how to grow, how to start a business and make it successful. And ultimately, we find out whether or not our business owners will swim or sink in the tank. Now, for the folks listening today, I'm going to be bringing in our guests, Matt Haas from SoluPay Payment Solutions, shortly. But before we do that, as always, I'm sitting here with my co-host, David Sims. David, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing well. It's a gorgeous day, but the humidity's rising, so I'm glad I'm inside a nice air-conditioned studio.
That's right.
Hey, I hear that we got some big news coming up on Monday, or big event here, not just in Little Rock, but across the country. There's actually a solar eclipse, which is supposed to be once every, I don't know how many hundreds of years. You got any plans to watch the solar eclipse, Dave?
I was thinking about it, but I think I'm just going to stick back and play some cards with the family tonight.
It's not tonight. It's Monday morning.
Oh, Monday. Okay. I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, your son's going to say, Dad, you're so boring. Don't you know something's going on outside?
I don't think you can see it from Little Rock, though, can you?
Really? I think you can. I had someone in the elevator ask me the other day, hey, have you bought your glasses yet?
So, I thought you had to be right in the path.
To some other knucklehead, my son, who said he's buying binoculars so he can get the best view possible. I think you go blind if you do something like that. So, hey, Matt Haas is our guest today. Matt is the founder and president of SoluPay Payment Solutions as a... am I wrong, Matt? Are you the president of that, or is they just your like custodian for what you do?
Yeah, so SoluPay actually started 13 years ago by Joe Musitano and Jamie Moss, but I started working with them 2.5 years ago as a consultant, and they've been phenomenal to work with.
Well, that's great to hear because, you know, you don't always like your business partners, although I happen to be business partner with David Sims. We get along pretty good.
Yeah.
Oil and water sometimes, but we do okay. So Matt, you're in Little Rock now, but you didn't start out here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky in southern Indiana area, so big basketball fan, go Cards. And then my junior year of high school, we moved to Anchorage, Alaska. So that was a little culture shock, but a lot of fun, met a lot of great people. One of my best friends there now, it says, welcome to Alaska. This is where the men are men, but the women are too. So there was not quite as many pretty girls to choose from, but some just had a lot of fun.
Is it really as cold up there as they say? I remember when I first got started in the financial industry, I worked for a company, and I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota in the middle of winter, and it was like 30 below outside. And I said, I just got to know what this feels like. And I remember I walked out of the hotel where the conference was, and within 10 steps, I turned around, hoped I'd make it back in time before I died. It was cold.
Yeah. So in Anchorage, it's more, more mild weather, which you got maybe 10 below. And, but in Fairbanks, northern parts of the state, you get 50, 60 below. So I try to stay out of those areas. But it's great in the summer, 70 degrees, and you know, June, July, and August. But the winters are just long.
How'd you end up back down here?
So my freshman year of college, I started college in Seattle, Washington, and then my dad took a job here in Little Rock. And we had no ties to Arkansas, so I basketball is my favorite sport. So I visited Wichita Baptist University down in Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and knew there was a chance I could walk on there and was actually able to do that. So that was a lot of fun, but it just felt right. So I transferred to OBU, and that was in 95 and pretty much been here ever since.
David, remind me when we get to the plea to fifth segment to ask him if he thinks he was really any good. Or should he have been on that basketball team or
what
not?
What were you? Were you a 3 or a 4? What'd you play?
Oh, no. When you're 6 feet and white, you have to be a point guard. I couldn't shoot it that well.
But is it true you can't jump?
I dunked one time in my life, and that was when the football players were in the gym. They were very athletic and up there dunking, and they said, Matt, go dunk one. And I was like, okay, here we go. So I threw it up next to the rim and barely got it in, but acted like I did it all the time.
Did you ever see that movie, White Man Can't Jump, from Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson?
Yeah.
That was pretty
fun. A classic.
Yeah. So, did you get any? Tell us about your best game there at Ouachita.
Well, there wasn't really a best game at Ouachita because I rarely got in. I was the last guy off the bench, only at the scrub minutes in the last couple minutes of the game. But we had some fun. The best game I ever saw, though, was we were down 28 points with 15 minutes to go in the game, and we actually came all the way back and tied it and then lost it at the end. But it was the most unbelievable comeback I'd ever seen.
David, did you notice he said the best game I ever saw? So yeah, he was definitely on the bench.
Yeah, no, I was cheering hard.
Well, when you go to that next level, the college level, it's amazing how competitive it is.
The speed of the game, and then just the size and strength of the players, just different level.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Matt, talking about Solupe, if I were to ask you, hey, what's your 20-second elevator pitch to tell us what you do and what Solupe does, what would be your answer?
Well, we help companies process their cards most efficiently, securely, and cost effectively. And so it's just analyzing that, making sure they've got the best solution possible.
That's good. I think we got to about the 10th floor on that one. That was good. Yeah, good job. So what are some of the gotchas? What are some of the things that entrepreneurs, business owners need to be looking for with the merchant processing and the credit card processing aspect of their business?
Well, having somebody who really understands the fee structure, there's over 1,400 categories of interchange rates, so it's very complex and convoluted.
Do they do that on purpose just so they can overcharge people?
Well, I don't know who came up with that system, but that's the core cost. But because of that, the companies and the sales reps can make it very misleading on what you're actually paying. One of the guys who trained me in the industry, he says, Matt, do you know the difference between a merchant sales rep and a used car salesman? I says, no. He says, well, a used car salesman actually knows he's lying to his customers. So most sales reps don't even totally understand it. And it's a 6-month learning curve probably. But really analyzing that and understanding why you're paying what you're paying.
Is the merchant processing industry regulated in any way?
It is yes and no. To sell card processing, does not require any licensing requirements. Now, the processors themselves have certain standards to meet, but there's a lot of deceptive practices that go on that a lot of times.
So how do you help protect your clients, your business owner clients, entrepreneurs from getting taken?
Well, really, it's just a matter of having that conversation with them and analyzing their statements and breaking down those fees and showing them what they're paying and then providing a fair, transparent solution that, one of Solupe's standards, which is I've never heard of any other company in the industry doing this, is they made a commitment to never raise rates outside of interchange. So in 13 years, they never have. And because of that, they have a 97% retention rate.
What would be the industry standard on that retention rate?
It's more like 70. Wow. My that's what I've read, but my experience is probably less than that with bigger companies because they just don't try to take care of the customer long term.
Yeah, you worked for a major bank in merchant card processing before you took over and started your business with Solupe.
Sure.
What's the difference being an entrepreneur versus working for the corporation?
Well, it's salary versus nada.
What you kill.
So, the longer you are somewhere and then the more income you're making, the harder it is to walk away. But when you know those profit margins, then I was confident in my ability to replace that income pretty quickly and just give me the freedom to do what I want.
You know, it's interesting. I have some entrepreneurial stories. David, you had your own law firm for a while. I remember telling my dad, who was also an entrepreneur and started his own business with his grandfather, and I had graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering, so I'm working there, like you said, on the salary. And I said to him one day, I said, Dad, I would rather make nothing this month and know I could really hit it big next month than just get the same thing day after day, month after month. Did you feel that way, David? Or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Litigated for a couple of years, and I said, man, I got to go out on my own. I can't have somebody control me and tell me what to do.
For those of you who don't know David actually got a football scholarship offer from Bill Parcells, and I've played basketball with him, and he thinks basketball is football.
I
would not want to have faced David as a litigator across the courtroom.
I like playing defense. I like the defensive aspect of the game, that's for sure. I always like to say, you know why you have 5 fouls, right? So you can use 4 legally in basketball. That's the way to play.
Hey, Matt, we all hear, you know, or we watch an infomercial late at night and they talk about being your own boss and how great it is. And you're going to be on the beach and you're going to be working from home and you're going to be all those. What do you think is the biggest myth about owning your own business that you've seen or heard?
Well, that's tough. You know, the old saying, it takes money to make money. I don't think that's always true. You know, sweat equity and hard work goes a long way. A lot of people think 40 hours is a full work week, but there's 168 hours in the week. So you can work 80, 100 plus hours and still have time to do everything else. But, you know, it takes work typically to get it going. And sometimes it takes significant money, but not always. But I think you just have to have a commitment to stick it out for at least 5 years. If you aren't planning on, you know, giving yourself, you know, several years to give it a chance, then just wait.
Let me ask you this, because there's a lot of people, they want to be their own boss, but they really don't have any idea, you know, what they want to do. They just know they want to be their own boss. And I know there's franchises are one way to go. Did you ever consider doing a franchise or something along those lines?
Yeah, I've looked at those models in the past. A lot of them are pricey. It just depends. It has to be something you really believe in, and you look at those numbers long term. But there are reasonable franchise fees out there. But again, you're kind of committing to a system that and losing some control there. So it's kind of like can sometimes be owning a job.
Yeah, there you go.
In some of those situations.
Right.
Hey, walk through the steps from when you're at the bank and you're thinking through, all right, I want to be my own boss. I want to have my own business. Walk through those steps and tell us what the transition was like. And how long was it before, I mean, what was your time to money?
Yeah, so, you know, seeing the writing on the wall, there was a lot of change in leadership at the bank, and they were asking me to travel a lot more than I wanted to with a wife and three small kids at home. And so, you know, I had definitely been planning, had another business on the side, had saved up some money, and was trying to get myself in position to handle walking away, because I knew there would be a period of time where, you know, the income would go down. And so a lot of prayer, a lot of counsel and talking to people that I trusted. And then, but at a certain point, I just felt that it was the right time. And when I walked away, God really blessed it. And it was phenomenal, really.
How long was your planning process before you finally made a decision to give notice to the bank and say, hey, I'm leaving?
It was a year to 2 years, mm-hmm. You know, because I did a lot of research on who I wanted to work with, leaving, and then making sure I had my money right and had all my ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm. And then how long did it take before you actually got the merchant processing side of it going and started mm-hmm. seeing the revenues?
Yeah, I was fortunate to have a few strong clients early on, and that helped out tremendously, and I'm grateful for them. And you know, but within a year and a half to 2 years, had more than replaced my income from the bank.
Hey, Matt, this has been great information, and I'm sure these entrepreneurs that are listening are really gleaning a lot from it. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be asking some more Seeking Wisdom questions, and then we're going to move into kind of a fun part of the show, the Hot or Not segment. And one of the questions I'm going to be asking Matt is, Matt, your golf game, is it hot or not?
Are you in the market for vehicle graphics, signs, banners, or a display for your next trade show event? The Color Spot is one of the nation's leading providers of digital wide format graphics and printing solutions. We strive to build solid partnerships with our clients based on trust, integrity, service, and quality products that exceed the expectations of our clients. Visit our website at tcs.inc or call us at 877-345-7768.
Hey, folks, you're listening to the Arkansas Shrimp Tank, coming to you every week on Thursday morning. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, and my co-host, David Sims. And you can always catch a replay of the podcast at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. And if you miss it there, don't forget to download our podcast at iTunes in case you miss an episode. Hey, David, I think you were telling me earlier you saw some interesting statistics on Entrepreneur Magazine that you thought would be worth discussing.
Yeah, Matt, so we're trying to get some wisdom from you on this with your experience and starting your own business in the merchant processing field. 20% fail in the first year. Businesses fail in the first year. 34% in the second. And by year three, 50% have failed. By year 10, 70% have failed. What are some of the things you've learned? What are some pearls of wisdom you can share with our listeners about your experience and what you've seen to be successful for you and for other entrepreneurs and business owners?
Yeah, so obviously most businesses don't make it. I think it's probably either lack of experience and knowledge or lack of funds, depending upon the venture. Most businesses run out of money because you can learn, but trial and error is an expensive way to learn. Mm. So that's the beauty of franchises or partnerships. You know, if you have a partnership where somebody has experience in one field and or in an area and you in another, those can work really well, but you have to have a lot of trust in a partnership. So, it depends on the model and the industry, but I think a lot of businesses can be started part-time outside of a job where you don't have to risk it all or bet the farm. And so if that's possible, then that's definitely the best way to go to minimize your risk. And at some point you have to make that leap. But, in my case, I already had the knowledge, already had the contacts. So it was I knew what I could do, and I was very confident in that.
Did you ever think about bringing on a partner yourself, or was your confidence in what you did? Or do you have a partner now?
Yeah, so early on it was just me, but I've trained a couple of other agents and working toward that to grow. I'm cautious about financial partnerships because I've seen my dad's been in a lot of business ventures with a lot of different people, and some worked out good, some not so much. So I think having a strong level of trust and really being on the same page with somebody is important.
I remember one of the companies I started out in California was a mortgage company, and my partner was my wife. And let me tell you, you got to think long and hard before you go into business with your wife, because there were times where she just said, you know what? I don't want to talk to you anymore. Why don't you leave the room? How about your wife, Tamara, David? How did she take it when you went out on your own as an attorney?
She took it pretty well. I mean, we had a young child, actually, maybe I can't remember now, maybe two by then. And she was working as an interior designer with her brothers, who's an architect, and her other brother's a landscape architect. And so we were dual income and working, and we thought it was the right move, and the numbers worked. And then a couple years later, we had kid three, and we were deciding, well, it's probably time for you to come home. And
tell our listeners, David, how many kids you've been supporting all this time.
We've got eight, including a foster son that we picked up here since 19, and we moved here in May of 99. And so that's why I'm so gray and look so old. I'm actually only 40 years old, but I look like I'm 70.
That's a good lie to be able to tell. So, Matt, you started your business with young children. I remember when I started actually in the financial industry, I was working 12 hours a day. And even on Saturdays, I was working with American Express Financial Advisors. And they made us even come in on Saturdays from 9 to 3. And we had just had our third child. And I found out later my wife would kind of cry herself to sleep thinking, what did I get into here with him starting this business? How did Delisa take it when you told her you were going to leave the safety and security of corporate America?
Yeah, well, she put a lot of faith in me. She trusted my judgment and decision, and I'm thankful for that. And she didn't want me traveling, and so she was on board with that because I was traveling too much, and she knew I could do it, and so that helped a lot.
So since we're a show about entrepreneurship and business owners, and, there's not just a business owner isn't the only entrepreneur. There's intrapreneurs who are in a large company, but they actually have a lot of responsibility and are making a lot of decisions. But if you could give one piece of advice to an entrepreneur, what do you think it would be? What do you wish someone had told you before you started?
It's a good question. I would say mentorship is critical, and having somebody with the knowledge and experience that's already done what you're trying to do. And, because there's going to be stuff that always comes up that you have questions on. Nobody has all the answers. So I think surrounding yourself with a team of people, but having one or two or three really trusted advisors that you can go to.
Let me ask you a question about your particular experience with starting your merchant processing business with SoluPay. Mm-hmm. Was it capital intensive? Did you, other than worrying about covering your living expenses, did you have to put any big money into it?
No, it's mostly just advertising, some getting the word out, but a lot of just time investment, sweat equity, and hustle.
So if somebody was wanting to get in to start a business like that, say in some other city? I mean, what would be the steps that they need to think through, and how would it work?
Yeah, first they would need to figure out if they wanted to partner with an existing processor or actually take on that liability and risk themselves, and then the customer service aspect of it. My situation with SoluPay is they service all of my clients, and we have a revenue share agreement, and they do a phenomenal job. So it's worth it for me, because then I don't have to hire and manage employees, which takes up a lot of time, and I can do what I do best.
So how does the money work? How do you make the money?
Yeah, so when every time a credit card transaction is processed, they have to pay the processor a fee, usually a percentage plus a per transaction fee, and that rate is negotiable and depends upon the volume. And so when that happens, then we get a small percentage times a lot of dollars, and it adds up.
And then for your business clients, how do you actually add value to them and help them save money?
Sure. So we analyze their interchange fees and processing fees. And so for customers who do business with other businesses and take corporate cards, there's what's called level 2 and level 3 data that we can help them qualify for lower rates through interchange, and that can be significant savings. And on the processor fees, we just analyze every single hidden fee and make sure they know exactly what they're looking at and compare apples to apples, and I'll put together a detailed proposal on what the savings will be.
And then on average, about how much do you save your client?
It depends. I've say, you know, if a company is running small volume, it might be, you know, saving them $50 a month. But there's been other clients that have saved over $30,000 a year.
Wow. This has been great information, Matt. And I don't know about you folks that are listening, but I'm learning a lot about what goes into merchant card processing. I want to move on to a fun segment of our show, Hot or Not. And in this segment, we want to learn from our guests their opinion about whether something is really good as an idea as an entrepreneur or a bad idea. So, Matt, you said your business wasn't real capital.
Wait. We got to ask him about this golf game, man. You said
I was going to end with that.
All right. Well, let's start with. I'll ask him about his basketball game. You still play basketball, right?
I try.
How old are you again?
40.
40. You're still playing, huh?
Yeah.
You can move. Okay.
Something hurts every time.
What's your vertical about right now? About a half quarter inch or something?
It's minimal. But I spend more time with the pump fakes these days.
So you're still playing then? Your basketball game, hot or not?
Well, I just finished a league on Tuesday night. Matter of fact, and I can brag that in the semifinal game, we were down by one. I got fouled. It was a bad call, but they gave me the foul with 5 seconds left. And I'm not typically a great free throw shooter, but I hit both the free throws. Whoa. We won by 1 point. Hmm. So we got into the championship, and I felt really good about our chances. We came out. This team shot lights out. They shot like 80% from the three. We couldn't buy a bucket, and they blew us out.
Oh, man.
I got to tell you, I got invited by what I thought was a friend to join an over 40 league. And then I got there and found out it wasn't over 40 league. And one of the most embarrassing things in my life is I'm out there, and I consider myself a pretty good defender. And it was a co-ed league. And this young gal, about 22 years old, was coming at me on a fast break. And I was right about the elbow. And she put a move on me, and I fell on the floor looking straight back onto my rear end. And boy, did I hear it from the onlookers. It was awful.
Wait, so you just said a co-ed basketball league?
Yeah, in Maumelle. You should know about that.
No, I've never heard of such. I still got too much pride.
Maybe they just stuck her in there to embarrass me. No, they were dunking on us, and we were out of gas. We'd get in there for about 3 minutes and ask for a sub, and everyone else wanted more playing time. So, Matt, you talked a little bit again about financing the business. Do you think it's a good idea to finance a business, or do you think you should avoid debt at all costs?
Well, I think there's scenarios where it can definitely make sense to use financing as leverage, depending upon your rate, depending upon the terms and the venture, you know, because we have owned another business that's a storage facility, and it took financing to get that going. But in this interest rate environment, we're borrowing money at less than 4% and getting a much greater return on that money. So it can make sense, but it does not make sense if you are strapped for cash and you're going out on a limb and borrowing money on credit cards, high interest rate, just to try to get something going, and you're taking on tremendous risk. So it just depends on the deal.
So it could be hot, it could be not.
Yeah.
Depends on the industry.
Correct.
And your expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it's lukewarm.
Yeah, exactly.
I know we talk about, David and I talk about productive debt versus unproductive debt. And usually productive debt, you know, if you're looking at starting a business, hey, that's productive debt if you know you can leverage that into a successful business. You know, that's a lot more productive than going out and buying a car you can't afford and paying for it on time. And 5 years later, it's a piece of junk and you're still making payments on it.
Yeah. So. That car's not generating any revenue for you.
Speaking of cars, David, how come every time I see you with a new car, like about 4 weeks later, it's got a dent in it? I notice you got a dent in your trunk now. Which kid did that?
I don't know. Nobody's fessing up at the family, man. They all blaming me thinking I did it, but I just showed up one day and I went on a trip, came back, and there was this big, huge dent. Matter of fact, I just got it fixed, man. $500 deductible. And
I'm picking up my truck this afternoon, $550, because I pulled into this parking deck after I got my first brand new big truck. And
that's right. You
it says 6 foot up. 4 clearance, and apparently my truck's 6'4 and a half.
Oh, man.
That's an expensive lesson.
Oh,
hot or not, big trucks and parking structures. So, hot or not, should a business entrepreneur have a written business plan, or is that just tying them down?
Absolutely, that's hot. You got to have a plan. The old saying, plan your work and work your plan. I think writing it down, setting goals, having projections, doing your market analysis and research, very important, not just getting in there and winging it because you're asking for trouble.
So did you really follow yours?
Yeah, I definitely had a plan of action and knew exactly what I was getting into. But there's always risk in anything you do. You know, at a certain point, you still have to make a decision at the gut level. But absolutely.
And now the big question, hot or not, your golf game. And I've golfed with you, so I know if you're lying or not.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I say one shot is hot and the next shot is not. So, it depends on the day. And one club is hot and one club is not. But I'm maybe a little better than a bogey golfer. But
I can never get David out on the course, but I got my friend Jeff out a couple weeks ago because the humidity had dropped and so it was a beautiful day. And we thought we were just going to golf lights out. I said, mulligan off the first tee. He says, absolutely. Neither one of us needed it. It was beautiful. And we just thought we were in for the best day of our life. I actually probably golfed the worst I've golfed in the last 20 years. I lost 7 balls and a golf club in one round. The thing that made my partner mad, or my business, or my friend mad, was I actually beat him by one stroke on the worst day. But I can't hit an iron worth beans right now. It's just everyone. I knocked 2 in the water on one hole. So you can tell I did not have a hot game that day.
That's the worst thing about golf, man. Is you hit a great shot and you think, man, I'm a pretty good golfer. And then you just go straight down a rabbit hole, man. It's like... That's why I don't play it, man.
I got a hero in basketball. For those of you who don't know, I'm a San Francisco native, and so I love the Warriors. In fact, I had season tickets to them back when they were so bad that they only won 17 games all year. And Sprewell actually choked Carlissimo the coach. That's how dysfunctional they were. But Steph Curry's my hero because he's a great player and a great person, and he's a Warrior. And he just actually was in a web.com tournament on a sponsor's exemption, and he almost made the cut. I mean, it wasn't too bad.
Wow. So. Yeah, he's really good.
Being as great an athlete as he was, he still couldn't make the cut on the junior league in golf. Wow. So that just tells you, you know, what the level of competition is. Hey, we're going to break for another commercial, but when we come back, we're going to go into another fun segment called Plead the Fifth, where we're going to be asking Matt to answer embarrassing, well, maybe somewhat embarrassing questions, and he can either plead the fifth or answer them, but he's got to answer at least 2 out of the 4.
Matt, you might want to call your lawyer.
Uh-oh.
Get him on the line. Get him ready.
If not, David's handing you a business card across the table right now.
Here's Jimmy Ellis, president of the Jim Ellis Automotive Group, family-owned and operated since 1971.
I'm often asked what I enjoy most about working for a family-owned and operated business. And while the list is long, one thing that rises to the top, the opportunity to give back to our local communities. It's a practice my dad started 46 years ago and one that continues to shape our business today. And we wouldn't have that privilege without the support of our valuable customers. It's a simple philosophy, but it works. The more satisfied customers we create, the more we're able to give back. And because customer satisfaction is one of the cornerstones of our business, we created the Jim Ellis Promise, our way of emphasizing the higher level of service our customers can expect. To learn more about the Jim Ellis Promise, our brands, and to browse our inventory of cars, trucks, and SUVs, visit jimellis.com today. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Arkansas Shrimp Tank coming to you every week on Thursday mornings. Obviously, it's a podcast. You can download those whenever you want as well. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, with my co-hosts, David Sims, and you can always catch the replay not only at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com, but you can also download it on iTunes. Don't forget, if you like us, to go ahead and like us officially on Facebook or any other social media you use. So we're coming into our Plea the Fifth segment. So Matt, if you choose not to answer, which you can, we get a point. If you answer it, you get a point. All right?
I like competition.
It's not a basketball game. Remember, don't bowl me over as you come down through.
Remember, you got to say, I plead the fifth.
All right. Matt, what makes you uncomfortable?
I would say confrontation.
I disagree with you.
Yeah. The guys who are really, really headstrong or get in your face, like been certain, clients over the years where you're trying to do them right, but then they're very persistent and bullheaded about something, kind of get in your face. But I don't enjoy that. I build my business on relationships and just like to do business with people that I like. So now, since I'm not working for somebody else, I can just choose to say no thank you and walk away.
I remember I heard a guy that, he was in sales, and whenever he basically made a very good recommendation to the client and they decided not to do it, he would just walk away in his mind and say, as bad as that is, that's just perfect for you. It's the way for him to move on and good. Not waste a lot of negative energy on a negative experience.
Yeah. Okay. So Matt, feel free to plead the fifth on this now. Have you ever forgotten your wife's birthday?
No, because she reminds me starting – her birthday is August the 12th, and so she starts talking about her birth month on the 1st. So it's very hard to forget, and it's important to her. But no, I'm fortunate. I have not forgotten that one yet.
What about your anniversary?
No. However, she the other day claimed that we had been married 12 years, but we actually just had our 13th. So now I have one on her. So I haven't missed that yet.
All right. What about birthday, anniversary. What about Mother's Day?
Not that I can recall. I think sometimes it's last minute stuff, but we get it done.
Well, I got to tell a funny story. Tamara loved to tell a story about me. So we're in Orlando and we're at church and it's Mother's Day, and the preacher gets up there and says, all you mothers want to wish you happy Mother's Day. And I will. Oh my gosh.
Deer in the headlights.
And so I kind of said, I got to go to the bathroom. So I disappear and I run to the Walgreens to get a card, And Tamara asked me, where'd you go? I said, oh man, there's stomach issues or something going on. Yeah.
So you're lying in church?
Oh, no, man. I didn't actually lie. I told her, I said, I had to go
sure,
get your
card.
Sure,
now you're mad.
He felt nauseous.
Hey, really. Wait a second. You know how to tell when a lawyer's lying, don't you?
His lips are moving.
When his lips are moving. That's right. Okay.
Right. I heard the one about the lawyer who, fell into the pool full of sharks. He just swam across and dropped out, and they said, man, why in the world didn't you get attacked? And he says, professional courtesy.
That's right. Let's see. I got one more for you, all right?
Okay.
So when you left the bank, start your own processing business, obviously you're going to be in competition with the bank. You had a lot of customer relationships during that time period. Mm-hmm. Probably had a non-compete, non-circumvention agreement, right?
Ooh, I see where this is going.
So did you breach it? Did you breach that agreement in any way, shape, or form?
I do not recall.
To the best of my recollection.
I had great legal counsel, and I had a one-year non-compete. And then it was interesting, though, because the bank, they're so big that they just sometimes don't know what they're doing, because they kept my phone number from the bank forwarded to my cell phone for at least 6 months, and I was getting calls from old customers. I went through the proper protocol and followed the rules, but some of those clients after a year did convert to become clients now.
That does kind of say why sometimes we don't want to work for large corporations. I back in my career, at one point I worked for Prudential, and I had a special plan with AT&T on my cell phone, and I haven't worked for Prudential for 20 years, 15 years, something like that. The older I get, the more I forget. But every time I go in to, you know, up another contract, mm-hmm. they put me down under a potential discount. And I say, look, I haven't worked there forever. They said, there's no way we can stop it. So until they stop it, you're going to get it.
Right.
So I don't complain. I'm being completely honest, but I'm getting a great discount. So,
right.
Hey, Matt, I got a question for you. You might want to plead the fifth on this because you don't like confrontation. So you've been talking with us now for 30, 40 minutes. What do you feel about us? What's your impression of me?
I plead the fifth.
3-1. Okay.
You're probably thinking, yeah, I'm thinking that this line that Foghorn Leghorn has, you know, that big old rooster said, I say, that boy's nutty on a fruitcake.
I think he was thinking that about you, David. Certainly not about me. Well, folks, it's been great to have Matt Haas here with SoluPay Payment Solutions. I want to thank you so much for coming in today, Matt, and taking time out of your busy day.
You bet.
For folks who want to get in touch with you or learn more about your company, how can they get more information?
Well, they can find me on LinkedIn or send me an email at matt.haas@saulupay.com.
Great. Well, next week we'll have another great broadcast coming to you. Be sure to download us on iTunes. Check out all our replays on arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. Remember, become a shark. We all start out a shrimp.
Take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.